The reason why I agreed to pinch hit this morning is because I have an unbelievably powerful story to tell you that I read a few years ago. I just want you to picture the scene for a moment, and then we'll get to the background of the story. It's Rosh Hashanah afternoon, about 3 o'clock, in sunny Miami Beach, the 17th floor of a beautiful condo on Collins Avenue. And a not yet from Israeli gentleman gazes upon the beach and he sees a group of religious Jews walking towards the beach. And he remembers Tashlich. Let's fast forward a little bit. That Israeli gentleman has a religious cousin. He's on a business trip from Israel, visiting Miami Beach. And he remembers that he has a long lost cousin who many years earlier had gone on Yuda, had moved to Miami. He's not from, but he figured he might as well pick up the phone and go meet with his long lost cousin. He calls him up, he said, "Are you around?" He says, "Yeah, sure, stop on by." He goes to the door of his cousin's home and he notices a beautiful mezuzah. A little bit odd. He never knew yet. Person that had a mezuzah, his cousin. Rings the bell. His cousin greets him at the door. He's wearing a yarmulke. He's like, "Listen, you don't have to give me so much respect to put on a yarmulke. I know you're not yet from it." That's what he's thinking. He walks into the apartment. He notices the living room is full of sparring. And he is a little bit embarrassed to ask, but he turns to his cousin and says, "What happened?" And the cousin sits him down and tells him the following story. The previous Rosh Hashanah, he was sitting on his balcony, Rosh Hashanah afternoon, and he saw a group of Jews walking towards the water with some books. And he remembered what it was like to say Tashlich back in Europe with his family. And he doesn't know what overcame him. But suddenly, he found himself picking himself up from his seat in the balcony, walking down to the beach, greeting those Jews, and one of those fine Jews noticed him and said, "You know, here, take my machzor, take my Tashlich card, and read Tashlich." And since he was fluent in Hebrew, he read Tashlich, and he begins to walk away from the beach and walk back to his home, and somebody taps him on the shoulder. And the person turns to the person says to him, "Did you hear the shofar yet today?" And the gentleman says, "No, I haven't heard the shofar yet." He said, "Would you like to hear the shofar?" He said, "Sure." And the man pulls out of his pocket shofar. He blows the shofar. 30 kolos. And he begins to walk away. And he turns around and says, "By the way, my name is Moshe Katz." Fine, they part ways. The man goes home. And he tells his wife about his experience. And he describes how he saw the man going to Tashlich. He joined them. And a man came and he blew his shofar. And as the man was walking away, he told him his name was Moshe Katz. His wife faints on the spot. A few minutes later, she wakes up. And she asks her husband, "Can you please describe to me what Moshe Katz look like?" And the husband described Moshe Katz specifically and how he looked like. He was very tall, he was handsome. She faints again. When she wakes up the second time, she explains to her husband that after the war, for whatever reason, she had to change her name. Her real name growing up was Katz, and that was most certainly her father, no question about it. He was a Rav in Pressburg. He was a huge Talmud Chacham, and he was the Baal Tokeya. And she said to him, "This is a sure sign that we have to awaken, we have to do tshuva, we have to change our ways, we have to change our lives, and that's why," the cousin said to his from cousin, "that's why I'm standing here to you, here in front of you today, a religious Jew." So the cousin went back to Eretz Yisrael. He went to his Rav, Yitzchak Zilberstein. He told him the story. He went immediately to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And Reb Chaim Kanievsky said, it's sure a gilui min hashamayim. It's certainly, that's what happened. A gilui min hashamayim came down from Shemayim. A revelation from Shemayim. But the Kaddish had a strong question. The strong question was, is that why now? What was it? If the father of this woman in Shemayim had his power to come back from the dead and awaken his own daughter and son-in-law, why did it only happen after so many years? And why did it happen on that day, on that Rosh Hashanah? And Yitzchak Zilberstein explained to his student so beautifully that the father wanted to come back from the dead. The father wanted to awaken his daughter and son-in-law. He wanted to. But the first step had to be taken by them and not by him. And when that man decided to get up out of his chair that Rosh Hashanah afternoon from his balcony as he saw the Jews going to do Tashlich, he sealed the deal. He opened the gates of Tshuva. He opened the gates that allowed his father-in-law to come down and awaken them. We have to take the first step. As it says, Kishlo Kishlo Shamachat Vani Eftach Latam Kishlo Shulam. All we have to do is open the eye of the needle, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up the opening of a hole. Growing in Avodas Hashem, serving Hashem, being the best mentor we can be is challenging. We cannot do it alone. We need Siyat Mishnah. We need certain, I'm not saying we're all going to get revelations from the dead, but we're going to get a lot of help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what we have to do is we have to get out of the chair on the balcony. We've got to take the first step. Rabbi Chanina Mendoza wanted to donate a beautiful stone to the Beis HaMikdash. But as he came to the stone, he realized it was impossible. Impossible for him to pick up the stone. It was too heavy. And he looked around and he noticed there were four workers. And he asked them, please, can you help me lift this stone and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash? And they said, sure, but under one condition. Titein yodcha imanu. You have to give your hand to this trip, to this job as well. We can't do it alone. And with even those that lifted it up with them, they came to the Shemigdash and they disappeared. The message is clear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to help each and every one of us serve Him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to enjoy life in a spiritual way, to have a fulfilling life. But we have to take the first step. The Shari Tshuva tells us, how do you do Tshuva? It's so hard. Four words. Lahaskil betol mikan lahabba. You want to strive to do better, a little bit more, a little bit. Say brachos a little bit more kavara, pay a little bit more attention in shiur, write some notes, spend another 2 minutes with the chavrusa, come a little bit earlier to davening a little slower, a little bit. That's how you do Tshuva. We can't do Tshuva overnight. It's those small baby steps. The famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah about Rabbi Elazar ben Adaya. Rabbi Elazar ben Adaya visited every harlot in the world, and he finally finds out about a harlot that he's not yet visited. She's across the way, and he brought a lot of money with her, and she's glad to say that she says, because just like that can't come back, so too, Rabbi Elazar ben Adaya ain't the top of Rosh Hashanah B'Tshuva. A big wake-up call. Can you imagine? This person has been chasing his desires for years and years and years, and finally he's told by this woman, harlot, you, Elizabeth Dardaya, you'll never be able to marry Tshuva. And everybody knows what he does. He goes to the mountains, to the valleys, to the sun, to the moon, to the stars. Please, plead on my behalf, plead my case to Hashem, please help me. And they all say, sorry. We have to daven for our own cause. We can't help you. And Elizabeth Dyer realizes there's nowhere to turn except for himself. And he utters those famous words, Ein ha-dover toli elavi. The responsibility only rests upon me. It's dependent upon me. When we want to do better, we want to do tshuva, we want to grow, we can't say, okay, you know, mom and dad, just, you know, make me grow. Make me do better things. You can't turn to your Rebbe and say, please, you know, just press that button and make me more religious, make me more into it. Just press that button. You know, I want to enjoy what it means. I want to feel what it means to be an Eved Hashem. I want to feel what it means to be a prince of Hashem. I want to feel what it means to be a Grand Torah. Just press that button. Just make it happen. It's no magic potion. It's Ein HaDover Toni Alavi. You got to take that first step. And what happens next? The Bas Kol comes out and says, "Va'omra yotze Bas Kol va'omra erulaz b'dudayim mizumen l'chayi olam haba." He's getting olam haba. Can you imagine? What's his scorecard? His scorecard is not impressive. All he did was cry out and scream. It's all dependent upon me. Other than that, he doesn't have much to show for himself. And you know what happens? Rebbe says, "Bochur Rebbe, Omar, Yesh Kona Lomu Mekama Shalim, Yesh Kona Lomu Sha'achas." There's those that it takes years to acquire Olam Haba. But this guy, instantaneously. So I heard in the name of Rebbe Chasman the following question. What was Rebbe crying about? At first glance, you would think, you know what Rebbe's bemoaning, you know what he's crying about? Rebbe is spending his whole life learning and davening, doing all the mitzvahs, doing everything right. And that's his goal, Olam Haba. And yet you have this person with the promiscuous activities his whole life. He cries for a few minutes and he has Olam Haba. It's not misdaber, it's not logical that that's what he's crying about. That he's jealous that, hey, why did he waste his time for years and years and years crying Olam Haba if he's just done it in the flesh? That's not what he's crying about. I believe Kaufman said the Pshat as follows. That if this is how what a person can achieve in such a small amount of time, one real hargasha, one real feeling of tshuva, and you can get Olam Haba with that one moment, can you imagine what a person could do if he's on that level his whole life? If he gets those hargashas, those feelings of "I want to do better"? That's what he's crying about. People waste so much time in life, but if they realize what they can grab out of every moment, when you have those inspiring moments and you stick with them and you run with them and they don't, that's what to cry about. And when you think about this person who is sitting on that balcony in Rosh Hashanah and you think about the idea of he's somebody who's put all over Ta'aka, doesn't mean that he did all the mitzvahs in that one moment, but the fact that he got up out of his chair from then on, Kodesh Baruch Hu helped him. It's like the famous muscle. We have a building of 100 floors and it's really steep and it's really hard to get there. Almost nobody gets to the 50th floor because it's impossible. Everybody gives up. And there's that one guy who perseveres, that one guy who pushes himself. And he can barely make it to the 50th floor. When he gets to the 50th floor, there's an elevator going to the 100th floor, to the top. That's one of the many mishnayos about what a Buddhist Hashem is. Habal is Tahar and Sinai. So if a person wants to purify himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him. You can't do it alone. And I think, and as we know from this week's parasha, tshuva, it's in your mouth, it's in your heart to do it. It's not that hard. You can do it. All it takes is a little bit of a change of approach, a change in mindset, a desire. Everybody will say, you know, many of us will say, you know what, I really want to do better, but nah, it's just too hard. Is that really true? If you really had a burning desire to do better, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you, and you can find a way to do it. And it comes in baby steps. Just want to check how much time I have. To summarize, we're not going to necessarily merit revelation from tonight. But we will, and we certainly have the opportunity to grab those moments, we'll awaken ourselves, and expect, really truly expect, that when you go and you grab that baton and you get inspired, you say, you know what, Kodesh Baruch Hashem, Avinu Malkeinu, my Father in Heaven, I want to do better, you will get help from above. No question about it. In the last few minutes that I have, I want to convey what I think is four ways that you can merit outstanding judgment next Thursday and Friday. You know, in my opinion,
Next Thursday and Friday are the most crucial days of your life. What has happened in the past has already been decided and decreed on previous Rosh Hashanah. What's going to be in the future is all, everything's riding next Thursday and Friday. And we need to prepare, we need to figure out what's our strategy, what's our game plan? What can I do to merit an outstanding judgment for the coming year, which is certainly going to have an influence on our entire lives, especially, and specifically you guys here with this such a significant year of a year in Eretz Yisrael, which is a golden opportunity many of us will not have in the future. The first piece of advice. Imagine you go in front of a judge who gives out decrees, jail sentences. He commutes jail sentences. And he's somebody who's been nice to you in the past. And you walk into him, the judge, you say, "Judge, I gotta get out of this jail. You gotta let me free." And you start begging him. You say, "Please, let me out of jail. And he's been helping you out for years. He's been, you know, sneaking in some extra goodies. I don't know, usually the jail and sneaking in is usually associated with cigarettes. You know, this judge has been, you know, he's turned a blind eye on all the, black market and the cigarettes you've gotten. And he sent you a nice cake, a nice bottle of wine one time. And all you do is you beg the judge, "Please commute my sentence, Not one word of appreciation on what he's done for you all your previous years in jail. Is he going to be merciful? Is he going to commute your sentence? Let you free? I don't know. But can you imagine? You said to judge, "Listen, Judge. You know, first things first. I really want to tell you, Mr. Judge, that every time you've let something come in, sneak into the jail for me, and every time you've been warm to me, nice to me, I really, really appreciate it." And then you say to him, "Is it possible to have some mercy on me and let me free this year?" I think the second strategy would certainly be more effective. And I think that's one of the things we should keep in mind when we come to Rosh Hashanah next week. We should turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu right away and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there may have been challenges, there may have been difficulties for me, my family, colleagues on the chest here, but I want to tell you something. Thank you for letting me be here today. Because obviously that means that last Rosh Hashanah, you decreed that I would be living this entire year. We should live healthily, all of us, and all Chai Shalom for the next week, Bezos Hashem, next week and a half. And then, there's a big question, but you ask, speak to your local Orthodox rabbi, if you ask, make a request, you don't make a request to Rosh Hashanah, but the first things first, thank you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, for the past year. No matter how bad you may think it was, it certainly could have been worse. And if you take a pen and paper and write down all the things I should have gave you last year, I'm sure you will not even scratch the surface for all the things Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us throughout the last year. So number one, thank him before asking. Right away, Hakara Satov. Number two, the Yisod is Ein Melech Belo Am. There's no such thing as a king without a nation, right? Have you ever heard of a king without a nation? Then what are you a king of? You're not a king. In order to be a nation, we have to be united. The Chidah writes that there's a minhag, there's a custom to give Mishloach Manos Rosh Hashanah. Mishloach Manos Rosh Hashanah? Mishloach Manos is supposed to be given on purpose. What's the pshat? The pshat is Ein Melech Belo Am. In order to get a great judgment, we need to be part of the tzibur. We need to connect to each other. Then, if we're part of the Am, we're part of the nation, then we're coronating the king. Rosh Hashanah is about coronating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if we're an isolated human being, if we're not connected, and we're not mitzhaber, we're not part of a group, we are going to be judged more harshly, not necessarily as if we're coronating the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to bring out that point, I want to tell you an amazing mashal. There's once a student in university was taking a huge test for the proctor, and the time to take the test elapsed. All papers had to be turned in at 11 o'clock, and the guy's still with his paper, 11:05, 11:10, 11:20. All the papers were handed in, everybody's online, and the proctor shoots that guy, you're gonna fail. You're gonna get a zero. Because why? You took the test, passed the time that was allotted to you. So the guy walks up to the proctor and he says, "Do you know who I am?" And the proctor says to him, "I don't care who you are. You're going to fail. You have a zero." And the student turns to him again and says, "Do you know who I am?" And the guy is getting, he's burning up. He's really red. And without the guy looking, without the doctor looking, the student slips the paper in between a pack of papers and runs out. That's one of the yisodos of Rosh Hashanah. If we melt into the tzibur, if we become part of the nation, then the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a halakha that the general judgment of Klal Yisrael is going to be good. We're part of Karnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we're not an individual. We're not judged as an individual. This is why it's so important to do what? To daven to the tzibur. When we daven by ourselves in our room or in the base measures, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us as an individual, the judgment can be a little bit harsher sometimes. But when we daven the tzibur, we're part of the tzibur, automatically the judgment is more favorable. Just to develop that point a little bit more, imagine it's Rosh Hashanah, you're a little bit tired, davening is long, and they're singing a niggun, or you've already finished one esrei, and you say to yourself, let me shmooze my neighbor. Let me talk to my neighbor. Let me isolate myself. Let me bring myself out of the tzibur. Can you imagine? The King of all kings is judging everybody. He wants to judge everybody together. What are you doing? You're disrupting the environment. You're talking to your friend. You're doing something that's disruptive. Whoa. I mean, as bad as talking during davening is all year round, the one time you want to make sure not to stick out at all, not to disrupt, not to be a thorn in any part of the group, it's got to be Rosh Hashanah. You want to do whatever it takes to be connected and melted into the group. So you have a judgment that is based on the klal and not on the prat. It goes without saying that you have the opportunity. You're in a yeshiva. You're in a dormitory. Take these days. Take advantage. Connect to guys you haven't met yet. Go out of your way. The chidas is give mishloach manos. Why? To bridge more achdus, more brotherhood. And be'ezus Hashem, if we connect to each other, we're part of the tzibur. We're part of the tzibur of Teres Raga, part of the tzibur of Klal Yisrael. We're nicer to people. Can you imagine? You thought the only way to become judgment of Rosh Hashanah is have more mitzvahs than averos. I'm telling you, no. One of the eights is just be nice to your friends. How hard could that be? Don't insult people. And also, when the tzibur is singing on Rosh Hashanah, sing with them. Just melt into the tzibur. And be'ezus Hashem, Remakir Tov to Kodesh Baruch Hu, everything He has given us this past year and our entire lives. Be'ezus Hashem, He'll give us, continue to give us blessings. All of us, our families, all of us, all this year. And Ad Bias Gol Tzedek, Be'ezus Hashem. And also keep in mind the idea that one of the most important things to do is just be nice and melt together. And number three, when you have that little spark of inspiration, grab it by the horn and run with it. Don't look back. Don't worry. Life is good. Life is great. Continue growing in your ways of Avodas Hashem. Take advantage of every minute you have in this yeshiva, in your shrine, in your learning Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us all a kesiv of simitova, a good year.
Guys, stay where you are.